Hello, my name is Sharon Park, and this is my podcast for EdTech 543, Teaching and Learning in Social Studies with Dr. French. For the historical event related to my family, I chose the progression of the Gwangju Massacre, the June Struggle, and its aftermath in South Korea. I wanted to explore this topic and its relation to my family because my parents are directly involved in these events. At the end of last year, a Korean movie called 1987 When the Day Comes was released in theaters. My parents convinced me and my brothers to watch it with them, saying it was something they wanted to share with us. I didn't understand why until after the movie was over. The movie took place during the June Struggle. In order to understand the June Struggle, I must explain the state of government in Korea at the time and the Gwangju Massacre. In December 1979, President Park of South Korea was killed by his right-hand man with a gun. He was president for 18 years at the time of his death. During his rule, democratic movements, mostly led by colleges, were suppressed by expulsions and imprisonment. When President Park was killed, a General Chun seized power by force. To demonstrate against the martial law government and the unfair succession of power, about 100,000 students came together to protest on May 15th. In retaliation, General Chun ordered for universities to be closed to discourage further protesting. On May 18th, 200 students in Gwangju gathered anyway, which led to a conservative estimate of 600 deaths at the hands of soldiers. The actual numbers were skewed by reporters restricted by the government, and many went missing, never to be found. Some estimate up to 1 to 2,000 deaths. As the protests moved downtown, the conflict broadened to about 2,000 people, as onlookers saw students being clubbed and bayoneted. By May 20th, 2 days later, the number of protesters exceeded 10,000. As the conflict escalated, the army began to fire at the crowds. Taxi and bus drivers, now known as drivers of democracy, were also targeted for blocking the army from protesters and attempting to drive the injured to hospitals. The army blocked all routes and forms of communication to and from Gwangju starting May 18th, anticipating the rebellion already. My grandfather came home from Gwangju on May 17th, only one day before the block. The government denied General Chun's involvement with the Gwangju Massacre because his popularity was already so low. Instead, the violence was redirected by the media through blaming alleged North Korean communists in South Korea. Talking about what happened in Gwangju was forbidden at the risk of it happening again. During this time of fear and mourning, General Chun appointed himself as president, and universities were kept under careful watch. No one wanted to talk about it until videos of the Gwangju Massacre was leaked by a German reporter through college students in 1983 under the disguise of clubs. As students slowly and secretly formed groups to oppose the dictatorship of President Chun, fueled by the footage at Gwangju, the government was investigating the members. One student named Park Chung-chul was interrogated, tortured, and eventually killed January 14, 1987, for not giving the whereabouts of his fellow activists. Information surrounding his death was suppressed at first, but through the diligent efforts of reporters, the Catholic Priests Association for Justice eventually revealed the truth about Park's death to the public on May 18th and planned a demonstration in his honor. As students rallied to participate in this demonstration at the news of the government killing a student and keeping it hidden, another student named Yi Han-yeol was hit in the head with a tear gas grenade and critically injured. He became a symbol for the subsequent protests that followed and eventually died a month later after the regime agreed to the people's demands for a fair election. The movie I watched with my parents ended here, claiming that the people of South Korea have celebrated their victory and were finally able to freely participate in a democratic election process in a safe environment to become the country they are now. I knew this wasn't true. Walking out of that theater, I understood why my parents wanted my brothers and I to watch that movie so badly. I knew that the June Struggle didn't end there in 1987. A week before watching the movie, my dad showed me a video he found on YouTube of him in 1990. He and his college friends were running down the street toward a line of police with masks covering their faces and Molotov cocktails in their hands. I knew that 3 years after the events of 1987, my mom and dad were college students protesting against the police. Before seeing the videos and watching the movie, I never knew this part of their past. I knew that they met in college, got married right afterwards, and moved to the U.S. to eventually have me. I knew that they were history majors. They were the first in their families to go to college, and they worked really hard to go to Kyung after high school. I didn't know that every week they would be out on the streets with their friends, throwing fire and rocks at the police and running away. I see videos of college students in Korea being dragged by their hair, jumped my Ben on helicopters, and running out of burning buildings. Now, I see my parents chanting and screaming with them. I remember after watching this movie, we all went out to get ice cream. But I had so many questions, I didn't know where to start. Was it really that bad? How deeply did they participate? How come I didn't know about this? Even now, every time I think about that movie and the clips of protests on YouTube, I tear up. Not only because so many people were hurt, but because I feel like I should have known this important part of my history. My parents and my aunt say that the truth surrounding the Gwangju massacre and the June struggle are really only being talked about recently. This movie, 1987, When the Day Comes, and another movie called A Taxi Driver about the Gwangju Massacre are only just now coming out 30 to 40 years after the fact, because talking about it was shamed and hidden for so long. My dad went to a college a year before my mom, so he was out on the streets protesting before her. My mom shared that because she didn't know what the protests were about, she thought that they were criminals who weren't prioritizing their studies, even though she lived in the same city as the June struggle and experienced the smoke from grenades when she was in high school. I asked my dad why he was protesting and why he did it the way that he did. He said it was because students' lives were being put in danger. Their futures were compromised because workers' rights were non-existent. Their voices were not being heard despite their numbers and passion. My dad said that he was able to go out and fight because he was a young person. He believes that as a college student, you have the rare opportunity to form your positions and go wild for them. As an adult, he can't do those things anymore. My mom and aunt said that as parents who have to think about their spouse and children, they can't risk their bodies and lives with abandon like they could have before. It's all about the timing. As for their children now, as much as they want to keep us safe, it's not right for them to stop us from fighting for justice. My dad has scars on his head and wrists from stones and broken glass that was thrown at him by the police. And my mom and aunt have an older cousin who was arrested for protesting. As much as those things are scary to think about, they can't get in the way of doing what's right. Still, it's hard to say in the moment what's right. My aunt was 9 years old during the June struggle. And by the time she went to college in 1997, the fight from students was squashed and only a few protesters remained. She shared with me that because she didn't have much knowledge about the incidents from years before, and because the media was so negative towards protesters, she thought those students were wasting their time and energy by organizing and demonstrating. Looking back on it now, she is so grateful for all their bravery, because she's able to enjoy the freedoms that were gained from their efforts. They were doing the good, right thing. Anyone can see that now. The fight for justice is never over. Even last year, President Park Geun-hye was impeached by the Korean public, this time through peaceful protesting. The country that I come from has always come together to cry out against corruption of power ever since Japanese occupation in the early 1900s and before that. That is my history and my responsibility. I think about how I can be a warm person and a strong voice for my students. I think I can now say that all I have to do is look at where I come from. A line of people who pushed through the fear, looked critically at what's told its truth, and took action.